With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben after a delightful Christmas dinner. And down the other end of the phone, also delighted with his Christmas dinner, we're now joined by the welcome returner, Mr. James Hayes. Hello James, how are they?
It's like we were speaking about 5 minutes ago, mate.
Yeah. So we've had our staff do and everyone's happy. I've got a cup of tea and we're good to go. So coming up on this week's show, we're going to be looking back at all last weekend's results in the NPL Premier Division. We've got some post-match reaction as well with the management at South Shields, at Nantwich Town, at Matlock and at Whitby. And later on in the show, we're going to be previewing this weekend's matches, those big FA Trophy encounters, as we'll be joined by the management at Lancaster City, at Farsley Celtic and at Basford. We've got John Walsh coming on as well from BBC Radio Cumbria to talk about work against Ramsbottom United in the first round of the FA Trophy this weekend. And we've also got Joe Edwards coming on from the Express and Star to talk about that big Staffordshire derby between Stafford Rangers and Hensford Town this weekend. And that's all going to be wrapped up in a big fixture preview co-presented by the one, the only, Mr. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. So all that coming up on this week's show. But we've got James on. Firstly, James, shall we start with the Integral League Cup draw, which took place on Thursday? Because it happened on Thursday. You recorded it at our Christmas do. And, well, here's who's been drawn out the hat.
Number 5, Mask.
Number 4,
Bamber Bridge. Oh, it's upside down.
Number 1,
Belford Town.
Number 6, Runcorn Linnets.
Number 8,
Trafford.
Number seven.
Stafford Rangers.
Versus number 3.
Farsley Celtic.
So a big thank you there. That was the Integral League Cup quarter final draw, which took place on Thursday. And James, tell us the ties that came out of the hat because I've forgotten.
Fair enough. Right, so we've got Buxton versus Mask United, Bamber Bridge against Belper Town, Runcorn Linnets against Trafford, and Stafford Rangers against Farsley Celtic. Ties to take place on the week of commencing the 28th of January.
We're getting down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to the Integral League Cup. However, I don't think we're anywhere near sorting out where we are with the league at the moment. We spoke to a couple of chairmen this afternoon, James, didn't we? And they're none the wiser, really, about where this is going. It's awfully, awfully exciting up at the top. And last weekend, we had a plethora of results from the NPL Premier Division. And still out in front is Nantwich, a 3-point lead. And it was a 6-pointer, taking on South Shields, a 0-0 draw. And after the match, Dave Cook caught up with Nantwich Town's media team. So let's hear what he had to say.
Good point, really. When we went there early in the season, I thought, what a good footballing side we were, or are. And nothing's changed today. You know, I think they're the best footballing side in the league. But what I was pretty pleased with our lads was the resilience that they showed. We weathered the first possibly 15 minutes, and then from there we seemed to get a grip of the game. You know, I think if the penalty had gone in, it would have changed the outcome of the game a little bit. Maybe we might have been able to pick them off, but all in all, I think it was a good point.
So Dave Cook there speaking with Nantwich Town's TV channel, and a big thank you to the media team at Nantwich Town for that clip. A 0-0 draw with South Shields on Saturday at the Dabba Dome. Let's have the reaction now from South Shields, because I think this is a good point for both sides. Here's Lee Picton speaking with South Shields' YouTube channel.
Lee, a draw weight of the league leaders. You see that as a point gained or 2 points dropped, do you think?
That's a tough one. Before the game, he probably would have said, you know, point gained, but after the game, you'd possibly say 2 points drop, because we've, you know, pretty much from the first whistle, we've dominated long periods of the game. possession wise and territorially. So yeah, I'm not going to lie, you know, we've stepped off the pitch and gone to the change rooms, and feels a little bit like a defeat, but still lots of positives to take. You know, we've come away from home against, like you say, the league leaders, and pretty much from start to finish dominated the game. So that's a big plus.
Do you think it's one of those ones where in the time to come here, maybe a point gained longer term, do you think? Is that what you're hoping for?
Only time will tell. Once we get to the end of the season, there's probably, as with every team, there'll be a number of results you look back on at the end of the season and go, and then you'll work out whether it's a point gained or 2 points dropped.
Joint manager Lee Picton there speaking with South Shields TV after that 0-0 draw with Nantwich Town on Saturday afternoon. And James, I know what Lee's just said there, but when they look back at that result, given South Shields' away form, given where Nantwich are at the moment, top of the league, I think both sets of management will be satisfied with that.
Yeah, indeed, especially with Nantwich as well, because they're going to start coming to a really tough set of fixtures over the Christmas period now.
So South Shields, remain outside the playoff positions. They're in seventh, 4 points behind Gainsborough Trinity. They do have 2 games in hand, though, over Gainsborough Trinity. And they're 9 points behind Nantwich Town, but they've got 4 games in hand. So that goes to show you. I think we said last week, didn't we, given that Nantwich have played a fair few games than everyone else, if they could come out of this December period having matched the opposition in the title contenders they're up against in the coming weeks, Dave Cutt's going to be satisfied with that. A 0-0 draw at the weekend at the Dabba Dome. Scarborough dropped points. So the gap has opened up from 2 points last week to 3 points now between first and second. Scarborough do stay in second position, but a fantastic result this for Hyde United. Scarborough Athletic 0, Hyde United 2. And it looks like Berkey's mind games paid off, James.
Well, that Superman can do whatever he wants. Hyde getting their own back a little bit from last season as well.
Scarborough still sitting in second position. Farsley Celtic, though, they've closed the gap, remaining in third position, but are now 1 point behind Scarborough with 4 games in hand. 4 points behind Nantwich Town with 4 games in hand. So a great weekend for Farsley Celtic, and even better by beating a fellow promotion contender in Basford United. Farsley Celtic 2, Basford United 0. We've got Adam Laitland coming up later in the show, as well as Adam Laitland. We've obviously got Martin Grovers coming on as well from a Basford perspective. But Basford just sitting outside the playoffs at the moment, but still well and truly in this. They're only 8 points behind Nantwich Town, and they've got 2 games in hand over Nantwich Town. So just sitting outside the playoffs, but very much involved, Basford United. But a 6-pointer there going the way of Farsley Celtic. Warrington remain in fourth position. They, though, have closed the gap on Scarborough. They, too, are 1 point behind Scarborough. Warrington have got 3 games in hand. They're also 4 points behind Nantwich Town, and I've got 3 games in hand over Nantwich as well. Warrington at the weekend, Warrington 4, North Ferriby United 0. That was always going to be a tough game for the team currently bottom of the table, North Ferriby United, but a professional outcome there for Paul Carden's side.
Yeah, indeed. So again, Ferriby just struggling against them top sides.
Finishing off the playoff positions, Gainsborough Trinity. They beat Lancaster City at the weekend by 1-0 on the road there at the Giant Axe. So Gainsborough Trinity moving into the playoff positions following that result there, and overtaking Basford United in the process. We've got Mark Fell coming on later to talk about Lancaster City. So that's the top seven. And as we said, it's pretty much separated. It's 9 points between Nantwich Town and South Shields, but South Shields, the team currently in seventh, have got 4 games in hand over Nantwich Town, currently league leaders. So it's still awfully, awfully tight. Elsewhere, and let's talk about some of the other results from mid-table land. Obviously, we talked about Hyde United's 2-0 win over Scarborough Athletic. That moves them up to 10th position. Also, picking up a win at the weekend, and what a win, Buxton 5, Micklerover Sports 0. That's back-to-back wins now for Buxton in the league, James, and that's more like it.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, Micklerover again, at the same time, not in the awful time on the road at this moment too, but for Buxton, proving the doubt was wrong once again. Last couple of weeks where they were starting to slip up, and they're back in a little bit of the playoff race, isn't it? They're currently looking at their Christmas, obviously got the big one against Matlock coming up very soon.
Buxton are now 3 points within distance of South Shields. Obviously, South Shields have got a couple of games in hand, but they're on equal points of Matlock. Matlock have played a game more. Matlock, though, won at the weekend, beating Workington by 2-1. And after the match, Chris Rawlinson, assistant manager, caught up with the marvellous media team at Matlock Town.
Really, really pleased. It was important after last Saturday to get back, to not get beat. Picking 3 points up was always something we were aiming for, so really pleased.
So we've got a 3 week now up until Whitby. What is going to be the plan? Is it going to be 2 training sessions this coming week?
Yes, it's got to be. I think we've learned that, you know, we need as a group to be bang on it Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you know. So yeah, we'll be in Tuesday, we'll be in Thursday. Plan to go to Whitby, you know, hopefully to get another positive result with another home game the week after. We're on the target the next game, and we're going to go there and try and take all 3 points, of course.
Assistant manager at Matlock Town, Chris Rawlinson there, speaking to Matlock Town's YouTube channel, and a big thank you to Matlock Town for that clip there. So Matlock Town 2, Workington 1. We're going to hear from John Walsh later in the show, talking about Workington and the FA Trophy first-round tie this weekend with Ramsbottom United. But back to league matters. I don't think we can rule out either Buxton or Matlock of a playoff contention. I don't think we can do that, can we?
No, like I said, they're both on fantastic form. And again, the only fault Matlock had at this moment in time was a 5-0 defeat last week away at South Shields. Great recovery from there.
Yep. And other results from the weekend. Hensford Town 1, Whitby Town 2. And here's manager Chris Hardy speaking with friend of the show Paul Connolly shortly after the full-time whistle.
I'm off shortly over the moment. We said that, you know, at the end of the game there, obviously come away from home and maximum points on the board, like you say, is a good achievement. And we had to do it the hard way today. You know, we went in 1-0 down at half-time. On the back of the first half where I thought we played some decent progressive stuff, but having said that, I thought Hensford looked dangerous at times, particularly down the left and the right-hand sides. We spoke at half-time, and we knew the dynamics of the game had changed, and we had to go and force it, and we had to go and, you know, like you say, look for a goal to at least get us back into the game. They did that, and a little bit more, so, like you say, really pleased over the 90-plus minutes.
Chris Hardy there, manager at Whitby Town, speaking with friend of the show Paul Connolly, and a big thank you to the media team at Whitby Town for that clip following that win for Whitby Town away at Hensford on Saturday afternoon. Whitby Town there moving up to 11th in the league table now. They've overtaken Stalybridge Celtic, who drew 2-2 with Stafford Rangers. And down towards the bottom end of the table, there was a 1-1 draw between Grantham Town and Marine. Not too sure who's going to be the most satisfied with that one. I'm going to suggest it's going to be Grantham Town who'll be the most satisfied with that result, James.
Only on the fact it's to get some form back on the table.
Well, Witton Albion, they drew 2-2 with Bamber Bridge on Saturday as well. And that sees Witton Albion 4 points clear of the relegation zone. They do have 3 games in hand. For Marine, they clawed back a point on Michelova Sports, who just sit outside the relegation zone at the moment. So the gap is 2 points. Marine do have 2 games in hand. For Workington, their defeat, obviously, on Saturday, they remain second bottom in the league table, 5 points behind Michelova Sports. Workington still have, obviously, 3 games in hand as well. But just before we go, James, just a quick mention for Lancaster City. Great, great, great results at Guiseley in the FA Trophy replay, which has been long in the making. Lancaster City getting the job done, James, on Tuesday night in West Yorkshire.
Yeah, quite convincingly as well. Obviously, they fell behind to Guiseley, but completely turned it round after the half-hour mark, and they were the best aside from what I'm hearing there.
Lancaster City going through, and as you said, it's Blythe Spartans for them this Saturday, and a fixture preview coming up shortly with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. But James, a job well done, my friend. It feels like I've been with you for at least 12 hours. So we were going to do this bit of the show on the train coming back from the Christmas do, but we didn't want to impact on the commuters who were also making the journey back to their loved ones. We didn't really want to do the show on the train. Plus, it was a Northern Rail train. It would have been very noisy and very packed.
And it would have been delayed as well.
And it was delayed. True. In fact, we could have done the show on the platform if only we knew what time it was turning up. But James, a big thank you for joining us, mate. You have a lovely weekend, and we'll be speaking to you next week.
No, thank you very much.
So a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show, but it's now time to look to the future. And joining me hand in hand, gazing at the future like it's something to look forward to, we're now joined by Mr. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Simo, how are they?
I'm all right. It's definitely something to look forward to. We've actually got some great games this weekend in League and Cup, haven't we?
Oh, football, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. I meant politically. Anyway, right, so... Oh, no, let's move on.
Sleep through that.
So, we'll talk about the League matches coming up shortly. We do have Joe Edwards coming on because there's a bit of a Staffordshire derby taking place this weekend. Yeah. Hensford and Stafford Rangers. So, Joe Edwards from the Express and Star will be coming on to talk about that. We've also got interviews with the management at Lancaster City, Batesford United and Fars Celtic coming up. And, of course, we've got a weekend where Workington's got a big game. So we've got to hear from John Walsh at BBC Radio Cumbria. He'll be coming up shortly too. So let's talk about the FA Trophy. First round this weekend. And let's kick things off alphabetically. AFC Telford United against Fars Celtic. We'll hear Adam Lakeland in a second. But just to set this up... Fars Celtic, a great result in the last round, and Fars Celtic are banging form in all three competitions, essentially.
They really are. I mean, you know, Telford is one of the worst possible draws for them, I think, and that's an odd thing to say considering they're the higher ranked team. Because Fars, as you rightly say, are absolutely flying. They're 9 unbeaten in the league. They've climbed up to third in the Premier Division. They've won 5 straight games in the league. Like you say, they've done really well in the Integro Cup. Great win in the previous round of the FA Trophy when they eliminated Alfreton. So they go into this game full of confidence and will be a formidable opponent for Telford. I suppose the only caveat you would have is that Telford will probably be quite glad they're at home, where they've been really strong this season, haven't they? In fact, their only defeat at home was last time out against Bradford Park Avenue. They've actually been really, really strong down there in Shropshire. So that will probably help them. I think we touched on this on the monthly show, though. They have experience this season of losing a knockout game to a Northern Premier League Premier Division team when, of course, they were beaten by Warrington in the FA Cup. So I think this is going to be really close, and I can see why Farsley would be confident of causing another upset.
Well, on Friday lunchtime, I caught up with the manager at Farsley Celtic. Here's Adam Lakeland. So, Adam, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to tomorrow's biggie against Telford, just to talk about all the other competitions you're doing well in at the moment. I mean, let's start with the league. A great result last weekend against Batesford. It's you're leaving the league this weekend in a good place for the FA Trophy.
Yeah, and it was important that we did. In the last couple of times that we've played prior to the trophy games, we've obviously known that we were going to have 2 weeks without a league game. So it was very important in both of those games that we got 3 points, just to ensure that whilst we were involved in the trophy and the teams around us were playing, that we didn't lose any ground, really. And credit to the players who've managed to win both of the games in the build-up to the trophy fixtures. And, last Saturday against a very good, although weakened Batesford team, was a really good win for us, and it just keeps our good run going.
Before we even get to the FA Trophy, let's talk about the Integro Cup as well, because the Tuesday before, you played Scarborough, and you beat Scarborough, you're now into the quarterfinals where you've got Stafford Rangers. You're fighting on three fronts, essentially. So how are you juggling everything and pulling out all these great results in league and in the Integro Cup?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've only got a small squad. We've only ever had a small squad while I've been at Farsley, and that's the way I prefer to operate, because I think that everybody feels valued, everybody gets plenty of game time. We've got quite a versatile group, which means that we can rotate and rest players as we kind of see fit. But probably any manager will tell you when you're doing well and when you're winning games, players, they just want to keep playing. We have been mindful on how we've managed the load and the intensity of our training and things like that between games. But I'm quite pleased with how we've managed to rotate and get through, the cup competitions and the league campaign so far. And, the credit to the lads, whatever team we put out and whichever competition we're in, they're giving everything that they've got. And, you know, they're getting the rewards for that to date, with obviously progressing in the trophy, in the League Cup, and obviously doing quite well in the league. So we want to just keep on, you know, winning games of football and see where it takes us.
And just to reaffirm what you said there, in that two, in those two goals scored against Scarborough, Cartman and Spencer scored those goals. The same Nathan Cartman and James Spencer scored against Alfreton in the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy, which, you know, it might get lost in the wash, but that's a fantastic result in the last round. I mean, what was your take following that win against Alfreton?
Well, I thought we thoroughly deserved it. I mean, we went in knowing we were first. Experienced physical side, very direct side, and you know, like I am going into any game really against a team from any level, is if we defend well, I'm always confident that we'll score goals. I think every outfield player that we've got has already scored, and we've not even reached Christmas yet, which is, you know, great really. We have goals from all over the pitch. We can score goals in open play. We can score goals on the counter-attack. We're a threat from set plays this year as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the Alfreton game, I was confident that if we defended well and we stuck to the game plan that we'd put in place, that we could cause an upset. And you know, we won the game 2-0. If anything, I'd say that flattered them, because we... You know, their goalkeepers made two or three excellent saves. We've hit the post, and we could have won it by a bigger margin in the end. But to go away from home against a team in the league above, keep a clean sheet, and play as well as we did was a magnificent result. You know, and it's one that we would love to try and replicate tomorrow. But we know that Telford are having a very good season, and we certainly won't underestimate them. We know it's going to be a difficult game.
I mean, let's move on to Telford then. I mean, what are you expecting from them? Because I'm an FC fan, as you know, and I've seen Telford in action. They're a very, very good side. And although they're not full-time, they have got players who train more than twice a week. Some players, I think, train 4 days a week. So they have got that professionality about them. But they have hit a mini bump in the road in the league. So what are you expecting from them?
Well, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, I think, you know, the league above, it's probably very similar to ours in the sense that, you know, you can get beat off anybody. You know, the teams at the top, they can lose to the teams at the bottom if you have an off day. And that they are going very well in the league. I think they take up the final playoff position at the moment. I know that they've lost the last couple to Bradford Park Avenue and last weekend away at Altrincham. But generally, they've had a good season, especially at home. The home form has been very, very good. But you know, like every team, they'll have weak points, and they'll have strengths. And you know, we've done plenty of homework on them. We know the threats that they pose. We know that they're a good team. We know they can get it down and they can pass it. And we also know that they like to go direct as well. So providing we can kind of restrict and cope with the threats that they'll pose. And look at ways in which we can exploit where we feel they maybe have areas of weakness. Then I'm confident that we can put in a really competitive performance, and hopefully that'll be enough to see us progress.
And finally, Adam, obviously, I've already booked in future interviews with yourself. I'm going to speak to you all the way to Wembley, as you know. But just a closing message to the away fans. It's already turning into quite a season at Fasa Celtic. What's your message to them heading to Shropshire tomorrow?
Well, just enjoy it, really. We do go away from home. We generally have a select group of loyal supporters who have built up a bit of a camaraderie with the, you know, with the players, and there is that, you know, that feel of everybody, you know, pulling together at Farsley and all of us heading in the same direction, and we'll certainly need them, you know, as many of them as possible to come away and support us tomorrow, and it's up to us to put in a performance, not necessarily the result, but put in a performance that they can be proud of. I think we generally always do that. You know, they see the lads giving their all, trying to do things the right way, and I think really for football fans, that's all that they want to see. And if we can get a positive result as well to go with the effort, then I'm sure that they'll enjoy a few festive beers on the way home.
So Adam Laitland there, joining us here on the Evo Stick NPL show. And the beauty of being pre-recorded, Simo, this week is I've sent you the interview in advance. So what did you make of all that?
Yeah, it's as I expected. He's feeling good. He's feeling confident. I mean, they come off the back of a fantastic win in a big league game last weekend against Basford, so that will bolster their confidence even further. He knows they've got nothing to lose. I think also knocking Alperton out in the way that they did, which was, of course, away from home, gives them the belief that they can do it this weekend. It was a good interview.
Right, let's talk about tie of the round, I'm going to suggest. The most intriguing tie, wow. Certainly. Yeah. Chesterfield against Basford United. We've got Martin Carruthers coming on in a second or two. But this is an epic game, isn't it? And where do you think this is going to go?
I mean, the only slight blow for Basford is that Chesterfield finally ended this massive long run without a win last weekend. And they beat Salford to do it. So they will have come off the back of that on a real high. So their confidence has taken a big boost with getting that win last weekend. That said, Basford still going to it, having a fantastic season. They've had a great run in the FA Trophy, fantastic win in the last round against Curzon Ashton. And before that, they hammered Stafford and had a great away win at Cambridge City. So they've done really, really well already in the FA Trophy this season. I mean, there is zero pressure on them this weekend. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. If certainly they can get their noses in front, how the Chesterfield crowd will respond to that, how the Chesterfield team respond to that, because about half of them don't even know who Basford are. So it is really, really intriguing. There was a blow as well for Basford last weekend. They had lost that big game, as we just mentioned, away to Farsley, but they're still in sixth position in the Premier Division, still having a fantastic season. I'd look at what the bookmakers make of this game. I mean, they give Basford no chance, basically. I think the best bet I could find was 15-2 outsiders. So they probably looked at it and gone, yeah, we think Chesterfield will be too strong. That might be a dangerous assumption to make. And maybe Basford can play on that because people aren't going to expect them to get the job done.
Well, let's hear now from Martin Carruthers. I caught up with him on Friday lunchtime. So, Martin, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to the immense game that's taking place tomorrow, let's talk about the immense result from the last round, a fantastic result against Curzon Ashton. One of the results of the round, I'm going to suggest. I mean, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, we knew we had half a chance if we performed well. We're excellent at home. We knew they had a very good away form, but the way we set our stall out, we set out at a right tempo. The lads were really up for it. We raced into a 2-0 lead after 20 minutes, and that's what won us the game, really. And everything we asked of the lads, they did with aplomb. And it was some of the football we played during that first half was some of the best we've seen this season. So real credit to the lads, and I think Curzon Ashton were left a little bit shell-shocked. Fair play to them. They put us under pressure and we rode our luck at times later on in the game when they threw everything at us. But it was our start that really set us up nicely, and it was a perfect response to a confidence North side.
And then you followed that up in the league the following weekend by beating Scarborough, who I think were league leaders at the time. So it was certainly, it's been a great start to the season for Basford, all things considered. But, I mean, it is a double-edged sword, all this. It is difficult to manage the trophy. There was obviously, we spoke to Adam earlier about balancing three competitions in the Integral League Cup as well. I mean, how are you juggling everything at the moment? I know you're out the Integral now, but all the various competitions Basford are involved in?
To be honest, it's been very difficult. We've tried to balance the numbers in the squad. We've lost five or six players already this season due to unhappiness and not playing, and you have to respect that sometimes and give players the opportunity to go out and play, and we're a very accommodating club in that sense. But yeah, in terms of squad rotation and still trying to win games, it's a key factor of management and balancing the squad and keeping players match sharp. We're also trying to win games and keep the chairman happy and the supporters happy. But, you know, we did it really well, and the result against Scarborough was another fantastic result, and just unfortunate that, you know, during that game, it was a heavy price to pay, losing both lost Liam Earns and Nat Watson, our two main strikers in that game. And also we lost Dom Roma for three games, one of our main centre-offs, for three games because he got sent off late on. So that was a real blow when you look on the horizon and we knew we had Farsley coming up the next week, who, you know, over the games I've watched this year, you know, probably probably the best footballing side in the league. So we knew we faced a daunting task going up there, and to go in there without, you know, Nat Watson and Liam Ernst was a real blow, and we went up there to try and nick a point, but they were just too strong for us on the day and thoroughly deserved their win.
Now, I was going to ask you about how the treatment room's looking, but I'm not going to give Chesterfield any heads up over anything. The team selection's yours, and they'll get to find out an hour or so before kickoff on Saturday. But that does lead me on to the Chesterfield match. I mean, you've been in charge of Basford now, I think, 5 seasons or 6 seasons at Basford United. You've been there at this meteoric rise of the club. You're playing Chesterfield, and they've been on a meteoric fall, if the truth be known. This is what it's all about. This is what Basford United has been leading up to, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what everybody at the club has been aspiring to, and it's mouth watering. You know, I went to watch them against Bromley a couple of weeks ago. You go to the stadium, you know, see the supporters, the quality of the pitch, the facilities, and you're just drooling, because that is where every manager, every player, you want to be working in them environments day in, day out, full time. Professional club, and despite their fall from grace, you know, they're all geared up to bounce straight back up, and I'm sure they will. I know people speak about their record in terms of only winning one league game in the last 20, but in the same token, they've only probably lost 2 or 3 in the last 20. They've had a lot of draws. We know all about Martin Allen and his teams and how organised and committed they are. So it's going to have to be an exceptional performance from us on the day, and for them to have a bad day at the office. But, you know, that's the beauty of cup football, and we'll go into it, you know, with no pressure, massive underdogs. And we just hope that, you know, we can rise to the occasion. But in terms of the squad and availability, we had 4 or 5 who miraculously managed to turn up for training last night and do little bits. But, you know, some of them are going to need fitness tests on Saturday, so it's going to be a tough call. Some will make it, some won't, and, you know, what will be on the day. But whoever plays and gets picked on the day, I'm sure will do the club proud.
And that's interesting. I mean, just to go back to the drawing aspect, Chesterfield, I think they've drawn 11 games in the league this season. And as we've covered in the past with Basford, you don't do draws at all. I think you've only had a couple all season in the league. So how are you going to unpick that lock? So does it go to replay, or would you like a replay? I suppose your home form's superb.
I'm sure my chairman would love a replay on the Tuesday night. Especially if we were playing at home. But, I mean, it's a game that will end after 90 minutes, and we've requested the replay. But if we manage to get, even a draw, it'll be a phenomenal achievement. But, you know, with the surface, we know how we like to play football, and I think it's going to be about us defending for most of the game for our lives as much as we can, and trying to catch them on the counter-attack, and with a bit of luck, you know, with a bit of quality from our set pieces, or a bit of magic from one of our strikers could win us the game. But, you know, all we want to do is put in a performance that is respectable, and we let Chesterfield know that they've been in a game, and it's another benchmark in terms of the football club putting itself on the footballing map.
Marty Carruthers there, manager at Basford United. And before that interview, Simo, you were talking about the odds.
Yeah.
What are the odds for a replay? Because
and that would because we draw specialist Chesterfield, and then Basford obviously being, you know, pretty much unbeatable at home. I mean, that I almost you would then make them favourites if they could get a draw tomorrow. So and that might be the best they can hope for in this first meeting. But Chesterfield, I'm sure, will want to try and get the job done tomorrow. Do not write off Basford in this game. Do not write them off. Absolutely not.
And as
we won't.
No, and as we were saying there, I mean, Martin Crowe has been in charge for 5 or 6 seasons at Basford United. A meteoric rise and playing Chesterfield and blimey.
Mad, isn't it?
Really mad. let's talk about another mad set of results. For Lancaster City, they've been on a journey. And that was just to get through the third qualifying round. Lancaster City taking on Blyth Spartans. The match has finally come round. So let's hear from Matt Fell. I caught up with him on Friday lunchtime. So, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to tomorrow's biggie against Blyth Spartans, let's talk about the last round and, the result against Geisler. I mean, firstly, very, very unlucky in the first game, then the postponement and to dwell on it, and then to pull out a performance like that midweek, you must be dead chuffed.
Yeah, absolutely. We're absolutely delighted. I mean, we did feel pretty aggrieved after the first game because we got stung on a corner, 92nd minute, after we'd been great value to win that one. And then we were even more aggrieved when they called it off and we were 10 minutes from the ground on that Tuesday night. And, you know, the sceptical part of me says they had a bigger game in the FA Cup to worry about. And then they were off again last Saturday. So they had a nice rest before they played us the second time round. And ultimately, I think we got what we deserved. And over the two games, I thought we were more than value. And to be fair to them as well, they sort of admittedly said that we were good value for it as well. So great result for the club, and carries that bit of onward momentum forward for us as well.
I mean, how difficult was it to manage your team at that after that? I mean, Saturday the 24th of November, we've got to remember, is on the 90th minute is when William Fortin got the equaliser for Guiseley. So how have you kept everyone on it essentially and motivated the way you have done?
Well, they wanted to do them. They are a motivated group of lads, to be fair, but I think every manager uses whatever you can use. So we tried to use a bit of a, listen, you've taken half a day off work, lads, and these have let you down by not inspecting the pitch properly when we went up there. And, you know, there was a piece that's gone out on social media of the lads sort of singing and dancing in the dressing room after Tuesday, and in response to Guiseley singing and dancing after they won the FA Cup. So a bit of tongue-in-cheek stuff as well. And listen, football's a competitive game, and lads are competitive animals, aren't they, footballers? So we want to try and use as much of that as we can. And on this occasion, the lure of playing Blyth Spartans and potentially winning that game, which we know will be very tough, but the lure of playing, you know, Leighton Orient or a Chesterfield or in Lancaster's case, Barrow, you know, they're big incentives for these lads, and it's really sort of invigorated our season, the trophy it has.
And obviously, it's kind of, we were speaking off air then before, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because you've had a long time to dwell and stew, if you will, for the guys the game. But because it's taken so long to get that round out the way, Blyth Spartans just come up at you dead fast. So you've not really had time to think about it. That could be a blessing.
It could be. And we tried to mitigate the fact that we wouldn't have much notice, because we had Blyth watch last Saturday, which was maybe a bit presumptuous, but we thought we'd better do our homework just in case. So we have got some information, and we do our due diligence really sort of thoroughly at the club. So, but from a lad's perspective, yeah, we had a very light session last night, because obviously Tuesday took it out of them. We trained, we did what we needed to do last night, and we will go into this straight away, which, yeah, you can look at it both ways, can't you, in terms of positives and negatives. But for us, it's an absolute free hit against a good side who are in good form. And we know we'll have to be at our absolute best and probably catch them on an off day or perhaps not fancying it. But it's a two-horse race, and we've got every opportunity.
And we should mention, I mean, Blyth Spartans, I think if you played this game about 2 months ago, Blyth Spartans down towards the bottom end. But like, as you said, they've been on a great run of late with some great results. I mean, the Giant Axe has hosted some very big upsets over recent years in cup competitions. So you want the crowd on it as well, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've done a lot of work this week, obviously, in the media, and the club have done some good press as well to try and get as many behind us as we can at the club, and the support has been fantastic last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. It's been absolutely brilliant, home and away. But yeah, we understand this would be a big upset. It would be. I mean, guys, it was a big upset. This would be a bigger upset. So, but we're full of belief. We're full of confidence. We've got no fear. And as I say, Blyth's priority, I'm sure, is to try and get themselves into the playoffs or above in the National League North. Our priority is to make sure that we're not involved in a relegation battle in the Evo Stick Premier League. But, you know, for us, it's still a huge game for us, and our motivation is very much there to try and get a positive result on Saturday.
Lancaster City's manager, Mark Fell there. Lancaster City against Blyth Spartans then, Simo. It's interesting what Mark had to say there. I mean, Guiseley just dragged on and on and on, and pow, here's Blyth Spartans. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It probably is, in a way. And what a great interview, by the way. They really enjoyed knocking Guiseley out, didn't they? I think they really did enjoy themselves. So it sends them into this game with confidence. What a great result, being serious, to knock out a National League North. And, you know, they had some great wins in the trophy, Lancaster, because they had a really tricky tie to negotiate to knock out Ossett United. That was a great win. And then they went away to Marine to set the run in motion and got a good 2-0 win there. So they've done great already in the trophy. They, I think you raised this with Mark, and I think we might have touched on it in the monthly show, and I think it's true to reinforce it, that in some ways it's bad timing to be playing Blyth, because Blyth have really got their act together in the past month or so. They've won their past four league games in a row. They've won the past three or four away from home, so they're not going to be necessarily daunted from not being at Croft Park. So that probably makes them slight favourites, even though Lancaster are the home team. Lancaster's home form in the league has been pretty disappointing, to be honest. They've only won two of the 10 games at Giant Axe, but they do have that massive bounce from Tuesday, and I think that is going to be more of a factor than the home record in the league. They are underdogs, as Mark said. They can use that to their advantage. I do make Blyth favourites, but it wouldn't shock me if Lancaster do pull it off, because they've had some great results in knockout competitions this season.
And in previous seasons as well. But Kidderminster...
And in previous seasons, yeah.
Was it Darlington or Kidderminster where they came close to knocking them out? They knocked one of them out, but they came close to...
They knocked one of them out, yeah. And so, yeah, why not? Why not? Why not another one?
Right, let's talk about the final FA Trophy match this weekend. Workington against Ramsbottom United. We obviously heard from Chris Hyder last week from Bolton FM talking about Ramy. We'll hear from John Walsh in a second from BBC Radio Cumbria to talk about Workington. Workington have saved their best performances for the FA Trophy. They did pick up a win, though, intriguingly, against Hensford a couple of results back in the league. But it's still not clicked, has it, when it comes to league form?
No. And again, we have touched on this, haven't we, that there's been remarkable patience from the committee, from the board at Workington, and the management team to turn this around. The mood around the table at the monthly show seems to be that Workington still have the class within their squad. It's a case of maybe they need a bit of luck or a little bit of change of fortune. Certainly when they've switched their attention to the FA Trophy, as you quite rightly pointed out, they've had some great wins. You know, knocking out Stalybridge away from home in the last round was a brilliant result. And that came off the back of obviously just kicking off this run by eliminating Scarborough. The fact remains, though, they've continued to struggle desperately away from home. Still not won an away game, in fact, in the Premier Division this season. And they go to a side that is in really good form under Chris Wilcock. Only one defeat in the past nine in the Northern Premier League, and five of the past six have ended in victories. Ramy have already had an epic run in the trophy this season. They've come through four stages, eliminating Trafford, Frickley, Yaxley, and then Pickering after a replay last time. So they've already had a fantastic journey in the trophy this season to get to the first round. I make them slight favourites with home advantage to carry the run on and beat Workington. Although obviously Workington will be looking at it as, you know, can we get some sort of kickstart for our season? Because whilst time isn't running out yet, the longer it goes on without this change of form, the more concern that they're going to get. So this is a really intriguing tie. Obviously, it's great because we're going to get one Northern Premier League through at least to the second round as a result of it. But I think Ramy are slight favourites.
Well, let's hear from Workington now. Let's hear from BBC Radio Cumbria's legendary broadcaster. Here's John Walsh. So, John, a big thank you for joining us outside as well. It's freezing up there in Cumbria, as everyone can imagine. What's the mood like at Workington heading into this vital game at Ramy? Because it feels like, I think we spoke in the past about this, they're saving the best performances at the moment for the trophy, it feels.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, Ben. Excuse me, by the way, if you hear the teeth chattering, I am outside. I'm at the Pigeon Loft. I've been in all day. I've just had to dash down and feed the racing pigeons and water them. It's cold. Just briefly before we answer that, we've got snow coming tomorrow. Now, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay here because we're next to the coast. It's very rarely that we're affected by snow. But you wonder how bad it is in other parts of the country, and that might be a problem about travelling. But, you know, that's a pessimistic view. At the moment, we're all on and looking forward to it. And you quite rightly say there, we have produced some of our best performances of the season in knockout competitions, particularly the FA Trophy. A good win at Stalybridge last time, 3 weeks ago. That was a very good performance. That was backed up by a good home win over Hensford, our first win in the league since September 1st, so that was important. We're still second bottom, of course, a lot of work to be done. And there was a good performance last week, even in defeat. I mean, there's some Matlock fans around me who I see every time I go there, we're quite friendly with them, and they said right at the end that, you know, Workington deserved at least a point. The goalkeeper, Durant, made four, five outstanding saves, and or else we'd have been coming back with all the points. So, but it's the performances in a sequence which has given us encouragement, and we're all hoping that we can do it again and keep this run going against Ramsbottom, but it won't be easy.
I was going to say you missed off the Scarborough result as well, which was in the first qualifying round. There has been some cracking results to say the least from Workington, and feels like from what you said there, John, it feels like that they're only a couple of lucky bounces away from this clicking together at last for Workington.
I agree with that. I mean, I've been saying it on Radio Cumbria. I've been writing in my column. You know, the directors have got to hold their nerve and keep with the lads, because I think we will get out of trouble. A lot of it was down to the players who have these operations. We've got more injuries, incidentally. We lost two players against Hensford, and who didn't play last week. Hopefully one of them, Dan Wordsworth, will be back tomorrow. He'd got a knock in the ribs against Hensford. Had to come off early in the second half. We hope he's back tomorrow. Josh Calvert, Dan also had a hernia operation in the summer. Josh Calvert, also a hernia operation. He's been back for two matches, picked up a heel injury at Stalybridge, had to come off half-time against Hensford, didn't appear last week. He will be missing tomorrow. So we're still getting those niggling worries over injuries, which doesn't help. But the way the squad is clicking together, as you quite rightly said, apart from the Stalybridge match, of course, we beat Scarborough, the league leaders at the time, 1-0 at Borough Park. And then after a rather shaky draw, particularly in the second half, we 2-0 up at half-time, and then early in the second half, and then we drew 2-2 at Newcastle, but produced a fine performance in the replay to win 5-0. So, yeah, it's been a good competition for us. And as I said, Ramsbottom have gone particularly well. I think about one defeat in 14 or 15 games, which is very, very good. They will provide a good opposition tomorrow, although they are in a league below. But as Dave Houston and Lee Andrews have been saying for quite some time now, it's not about the opposition. We know that if we play to our capabilities, we can take on anybody in this league. And I agree with that. The only problem is they haven't done it enough and it's reflected in the league position. But if they can hit their straps, as they have been doing in recent matches, concentrate on what they're good at, get at the opposition from the first minute, I'm sure we're going to have a good cup tie tomorrow, but I'm hopeful of going through.
And updates available on BBC Radio Cumbria Sport?
Yes, I'll be there at Borough Park, and we'll be chipping in when every 10 minutes or whenever there's a goal, and to keep everyone up to date with what's happening, Workington and Ramsbottom.
John Walsh there speaking to me on Friday afternoon. So a big good luck to all our sides in first round action in the FA Trophy this weekend. Telford against Farsley, Chesterfield against Batesford, Lancaster against Blyth Spartans, and the all NPL affair, Workington against Ramsbottom United. And I'm pretty sure when it comes to the second round in a few weeks' time, we'll be having four interviews on the NPL show for that week, certainly. But big good luck to everyone. Simo, while we've got you on, we should talk about the league match this weekend. We've got Joe Edwards coming up in a second to talk about the Staffordshire Derby between Stafford Rangers and Hensford. But let's start by talking about Witton Albion travelling to Marine this weekend. That feels like a very, very big game.
You know, it's it remains the case. It's only played 16 games in the league, Witton, so still know they've got lots in hand. You can't keep saying that forever. They do want to try and get a little bit of a run going. And it looked like they were on course to start that last week. They were 2-1 up against Bamber Bridge going into injury time, had come back from 1-0 down, looked like they'd kind of dug themselves out of a little bit of a hole, and were going to go and get a 2-1 win that would kind of propel them up a couple of places in the table. And then they conceded a goal in the 92nd minute, with pegged back 2-2, and it was, all of a sudden it almost feels like you've lost, because you've not held on to that winning position. So there's some frustration there. A point against Bamber Bridge isn't a disgrace, but obviously they were in a position where they thought, well, we were going to get 3 points here. So they go to Marine a little bit bruised by that. They go to Marine a little bit bruised, literally, because they've got quite a few injury doubts going into the weekend. And this is an issue as well. We touched on last week that this is a small squad, and they were without four or five players last weekend. And it really showed that they had a lot of changes in the team, and a lot of guys who'd come in who'd not had many minutes at all this season, and that did have an impact. Marine are really struggling. They've not won any of the last 9 games. They've dropped into the bottom 3. So you think, okay, not a bad place to go at the moment. Their home record's not great this season. The initial bounce they had under Neil Young has long since dissipated. So, you know, that is a positive maybe from Witten's point of view. But kind of this head-to-head, Witten have found it really, really difficult to get one over on Marine. In fact, they've not beaten them since 2015 in a game that was played on New Year's Day when Carl McCauley was the Marine manager, in fact, that afternoon. Yeah, so they have found Marine a really, really tough nut to crack, and they'll be conscious of that going into this game. There's also another dynamic here in that Witten, depending on fitness and availability, could pick up to five former Marine players in their starting lineups. And this always adds a dynamic to this game. There's a lot of fluidity between the clubs in the time I've done this job. So there's that at play as well here. So, yeah, it's a big game. It might not kind of jump out to people, but it's a big game for both teams. Both teams would love 3 points to give them a little bit of a boost. But because they've been so, so tight in the past few meetings, a draw wouldn't shock me in any way at all, and it's probably where the smart money is.
Now, Marine against Witten Albion isn't just the only game this weekend. There's some really big games, actually, and when I look at them, I go, I'd like to go to that game, but unfortunately I can't, because I've been nicked for Christmas shopping. But let's start with the current league leaders, Nantwich Town. They've got a really tough game this weekend.
Yeah.
Following up that 0-0 draw with South Shields, where we had Dave Cook earlier, it's a good point, that, for Nantwich Town.
I think so.
Hyde United, though, this weekend at Ewan Fields, this is a beast, isn't it?
It is, and also in the mix here, and Nantwich will be so conscious of this. Obviously, Scarborough have not got a game, Warrington have not got a game, Farsley are playing in the FA Trophies, and the three teams immediately below them aren't playing this weekend. So what a massive, massive opportunity to open a gap to all of them in the table and put a little bit of pressure on them. The problem that Dave Cook's team have got is one of the last teams you probably want to play at the moment in terms of trying to open that gap is Hyde away. I mean, Hyde have improved generally to climb back inside the top 10 in the table. They've won three of the past four in the league, three straight at home. They're in really good form, feeling good, as Berkey touched on last week as well. That said, Nantwich aren't doing too badly themselves. They've only lost one of the past 14 Premier Division games, which was that strange 4-1 defeat they had at home to Matlock a few weeks ago, but they've put that behind them. They're actually one of the best travellers in the Premier Division, not lost any of the past eight games away from home. So as good as Hyde have been at home, Nantwich have done really, really well away from home as well. In fact, they've not lost since they were hammered at South Shields, which feels a lifetime ago now. So what a game this is set up to be this weekend. I couldn't call it.
Oh,
but like you say,
if you were
looking and going, fancy a game in the Premier Division this weekend, I think that would be the one that maybe you'd go and take a little look at. It's set up to be a really good game there.
And you mentioned the fact Scarborough, Farsley and Warrington aren't in league action this weekend. That leaves the and Basford as well, we should say. That leaves the door open for Gainsborough and South Shields. But they've got epic games as well. South Shields are taking on Stalybridge Celtic. South Shields at home, crucially. And also at home, Gainsborough Trinity are taking on Buxton. And, Buxton have responded, haven't they, with a great win last week, 5-0. So where are those two games going?
Gainsborough at home, you'd always back them because they're so strong there. They've only lost once at home, and that was against Scarborough. We've touched on that previously. So they're really, really strong at home. In general, though, they've also been on a little good run. Obviously, they won Club of the Month, didn't they, for November. So they're unbeaten in the past seven league games. I make them slight favourites to beat Buxton. But Buxton, I did see them 3 or 4 weeks ago when they had that horrendous 5-0 home defeat against Witten. And I drove home from that thinking, no, they're in serious trouble. They're in absolute shambles that afternoon. But to be fair, they have responded, like you're saying, have won the past two in the league. So it feels like they've put that behind them. So they're a little bit more of a dangerous opponent than maybe they were a fortnight ago. But I still expect Gainsborough to come through. And if they do, they also will climb into second in the table. So a big carrot for them. South Shields at home. I mean, it's so difficult to make a case for Stalybridge, not least because they've not travelled well at all this season. And in general as well, they're struggling. That's where they've dropped into the bottom half. Only one win in the past nine league games. South Shields averaging more than 3 goals a game in home games this season. I mean, it's impossible to make any other case than they're going to get 3 points, isn't it?
And we should say with Stalybridge, congratulations to Simon Howarth, who's now not just first team manager, but also in charge of the academy set up at Stalybridge, which is pointing to the future at the club. So that's good stuff for him. Elsewhere, and let's talk about Whitby Town against Matlock Town. It feels like we're entering the stage of the season now. I know we're coming up to 2019, but it feels like we're coming up to the stage of the season now where there's teams in that mid-table pack. If they string some wins together, they could push themselves into playoff contention, and this feels like a very important game at the Turnbull.
Yeah, for both teams, although maybe for slightly different reasons. I mean, Whitby, it was a really important win for them against Hensford last time out because they just lost their way ever so slightly. They've gone 4 games without a win. All right, it is a good time probably to play Hensford at the moment, but they did make the most of it, and that was really important. There's followed that the news this week coming out of Whitby that their leading goal scorer, Junior Mondal, has secured this move to Forest Green Rovers, which is fantastic. We always want to see Northern Premier League players making that step up to the Football League where possible. Intriguingly, though, he's not going to play for them again for the rest of the month, I suppose, to eliminate any risk of him getting injured. So that's a bit of a problem for them in that they've lost a leading goal scorer, and also they can't count on him in a really busy part of the season going into Christmas and New Year. So a bit of a dilemma for Chris Hardy there. How's he going to deal with that? They come up against the Matlock side that we were all kind of waiting to see what the response is going to be to that almighty thrashing they got at South Shields a couple of weeks ago. Would it knock them off course? Well, the answer is no, it didn't. They came back and they beat, all right, Workington, that are struggling away from home, as we touched on earlier, but they did get the job done against Workington last weekend. That was really important for them to bounce back at the first attempt. And, you know, they're sitting in ninth. If they can pick up 3 points tomorrow, they will close that gap on the playoffs. So it's a really important afternoon for them as well. So add it to the list of big games in the Premier Division tomorrow.
Let's talk about the Staffordshire Derby then. Stafford Rangers against Hensford Town. It's a very big game down that neck of the woods. And on Friday afternoon, I caught up with a sports reporter from the Express and Star. Please welcome back to the show. Here's Joe Edwards. So, Joe, big thank you for joining us. Big, big game this weekend. We'll get to the Hensford side of the equation shortly, because that's primarily what we spoke about the last time we had you on. But let's talk about Stafford Rangers under Steve Burr. It's a big occasion, this, for the club. How's the season gone, do you feel, thus far for the club?
I feel like they've probably underachieved, haven't they? Of course, I think they started the season with ambitions of at least being around the, you know, kind of playoff conversation, and it just hasn't really worked out that way so far for Steve. And for whatever reason, I think it's been a case of the struggle to put the finger on as to why. You know, they seem to have a pretty good squad down there of players. I mean, they've obviously got good backing. It's a bit like we've spoke about with Hensford. They're a bit of a sleeping giant, but it just really hasn't come to fruition. So he'll be going into this, Steve, and especially after that victory early on in the season, looking to make it back-to-back victories over Hensford and try and, you know, make it the start of something, really, because, you know, they're not where they want to be. And hopefully, if they could get a win, then they could get to, you know, hopefully at least that top half and then make a late push. But, yeah, this season hasn't really gone to plan so far.
Now, let's talk about Hensford. The last time we had you on, obviously, Rob Smith had just left to go to Hales Owen. I've been following tweets from Hensford, a steady in stream of players joining the club in recent weeks, and that was very much needed for Mr. Francis, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah, it was needed. I think he should have played in there for agents to get in touch and just try and get any players that he could, really. I actually spoke to Francino on the phone yesterday, and he said that, you know, when he took over 2.5 weeks ago, he had 7 or 8 players. But now he feels that he's built a squad that can do damage in the division. He doesn't feel like they're just there to make up the numbers. He feels like that they can, you know, hopefully kick on now. Of course, whether he gets the job full time remains to be seen. But he's, you know, keen to, you know, for the club to get on more than just a stable footing, really. He wants to try and take them forward if he can and play a part in that. So they've got a good addition in this week in Ben Bailey. Good to see him back at Keys Park. Bit of a legend down there. And, you know, hopefully he can provide that defensive stability that Francino will be looking for. And then they can kick on and start getting the goals to hopefully kind of push up the table.
Now, let's talk about this game. Stafford Rangers against Hensford Town. This is it's remarkable this is the step three game, to be fair. I mean, this is a very, very big game. Both clubs should be at least a level higher, I feel. I mean, what does it mean for football in Staffordshire, this derby?
Well, it's the bragging rights are ever so important, aren't they? It's El Staffico, it's, you know, as it's been coined by many, and it's the big game. Typically, it's, you know, your kind of Boxing Day game. It's come a bit earlier this year, just kind of course, with Hensford being a late addition to the Northern Premier, their kind of fixtures weren't probably laid out as they would have been otherwise. But, yeah, it's a big game for all involved. And as we say, these are two teams that aren't quite where they pictured themselves to be at this stage of the season. So they're both desperate for points. Steve Burr told us at the Express and Star earlier this week that he's looking for kind of his side to control the emotions. He feels that's a big part of it. And, of course, they did that earlier on in the season, winning 3-1. He said he was delighted with the performance that day, so he's looking for a repeat of that. But with Francino, he's equally eager to get, you know, fans on side and get them, you know, something to shout about again. Of course, they had a 6-0 win in a cup competition against Lichfield City. Yeah, not the strongest opponent, but you still can only beat what's in front of you. So a 6-0 win going into it, they're in high spirits. So it should be, fingers crossed, a pretty good game.
And Joe Edwards, just before you go, just a quick plug for the Express and Star. All the build-up, all the reaction to this game available via online. How can people find all the preview stuff and reaction stuff this weekend?
Yeah, just on the Express and Star website, expressandstar.com. Kind of click on the website, dedicated kind of non-league section. If you're in the area, pick up a paper. I spoke to Francino, as I mentioned, and you know, we've had a quick chat with Steve Burr as well this week. Both of their thoughts going into the game and kind of a look at all the other non-league teams in our area. So if that's your kind of thing and you can pick up a paper, why not do it?
And you can follow you on Twitter as well?
Yeah, @Joe_Edwards_Star.
Joe Edwards there from the Express and Star joining us on the Evo Stick MPL show. Finally, for this week's fixture preview, Simo, you've done a cracking job. Mickleover Sports against Grantham Town. Come on, sell it.
Boom. Well, it might not have the kind of glamour of some of the other fixtures that we've previewed, but this is a massive game in the context of the bottom of the table. And it's another game where it's two teams that are not really in very good form at all. And so this is an incentive for them to scratch out 3 points and maybe just give themselves a bit of a catalyst. Mickleover, obviously coming off the back of that hiding that they got at Buxton last weekend, so they'll be feeling pretty tender after that. What will give them some optimism is they have been a lot better at home, only lost one of the past six at home, so that will give them some heart that they can get something. Grantham's a weird one because it feels like they've been in free fall for ages and yet have only managed, still only in 15th. If they had a really, really good start, and I think that's given them that buffer as they've fallen down the table, because their form is absolutely appalling. One win in the past 11 in the league, and they've conceded 17 goals in the past 5 away games. So Mickleover might be just licking their lips slightly, or certainly thinking, right, this is an opportunity for us to kind of just put a little bit of distance between us and the bottom three. So we've said it so many times this preview today, but a massive game for both teams. The fixture list has really thrown up a great weekend, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And just before you go, Simo, just a quick plug for your work. Strangely, everyone, Simo isn't going to a football match this weekend. Well, some people call it football. He's going to a game of rugby that's got 15 players per side. What's that about?
Yeah, rugby football for me this week. I can't believe you've outed me. Normally, I'm off to a Northern Premier League game. Rest assured, I'm on Northern Premier League duty for the rest of the month on a very busy couple of weeks coming up for Witten. But yeah, just to pause briefly. I am off to Warrington to watch them play Norwich in the rugby, but don't let that sway you. Go and see a Northern Premier League game. That's shame on me.
No, I was only doing it so you could plug your Twitter feed, and I didn't want people going, what's Ben told me to go here for? He's just talking about rugby. Anyway, go plug your Twitter feed. Come on.
Yeah, @Simo_on_sport. There'll still be stuff going on northwestguardian.co.uk on all things Albion and who they're up against in the next couple of weeks. So don't worry, it'll still all be there. It'll just be a couple of hours tomorrow where I'm watching egg chasing. But hey-ho, that's just the nature of the job.
And a big thank you to Rugby Union correspondent Andrew Simpson for joining us on this week's Evostick NPL show. And a big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. So many guests. Joe Edwards, John Walsh, James Hayes, of course, and the managers at Basford United, Lancaster City and Farsley Celtic. Also a special thanks to the media teams at Matlock Town, Whitby Town, South Shields and Nantwich Town for providing us with access to their post-match interviews from last weekend. But a big, 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 big good luck to all our sides in FA Trophy action this weekend. We hope you all win. And remember, before setting off this weekend for your FA Trophy match, as well as your league match, of course, do check outside your window before setting off and check Twitter and check the internet just to make sure that your game is actually on Saturday. Speaking of which, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's @NPLshow. But I've been Ben. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evostick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you wear a big coat. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evostick range, you may need a bigger van. Evostick. the strongest adhesives you can buy.